Death is my beat. These words open the chilling journey of Jack McAvoy, a crime reporter whose professional detachment shatters when his twin brother Sean, a homicide detective, apparently commits suicide. For years, Jack has approached murder stories with the clinical precision of an undertaker, somber with the bereaved, a skilled craftsman when alone. But when two detectives arrive with news of Sean's death, everything changes. The official story, Sean shot himself at Bear Lake, leaving behind a cryptic note reading, "Out of space, out of time." Sean had been investigating the brutal White Dahlia murder of college student Teresa Lofton, found cut in half in Washington Park. His last words to Jack about the case, "This one is bad, Jack. I can't stop thinking about it." In the aftermath, Jack retreats to the Rockies, skiing and drinking, trying to exhaust his body so his mind might follow. But nagging questions persist. Why didn't Sean reach out? What pushed him over the edge? And most disturbing, why does something about Sean's suicide feel wrong to Jack's reporter instincts? When Jack returns to work, he feels his colleagues watching him. He holds the job every reporter wants, freedom to write about murders without daily deadlines. But now, death has become personal, and the professional distance that defined his career has vanished, replaced by a growing obsession to understand what really happened to his brother. Jack's journalistic instincts drive him to investigate Sean's case. At police headquarters, Detective Scolari blocks his request for Sean's file, suggesting some things are better left not known. Through persistence, Jack accesses both Sean's death and the Lofton case files. Crime scene photos reveal why Sean became obsessed. Teresa had been strangled and mutilated, posed like the Black Dahlia murder. Sean's notes show his growing emotional connection, progressing from Lofton to Teresa to Terry. His final log entry reads, "March 13, Rusher at Stanley, PR info on Terry." At Bear Lake, Ranger Pena admits he'd been inside with a heater for 30 minutes before hearing the shot, creating an unobserved window. Jack learns from Riley that Sean had been haunted by dreams where he witnessed Teresa's murder but couldn't intervene, similar to their sister Sarah's drowning at the same lake. This raises serious doubts. Why would Sean choose to die where their sister drowned? And what did "Rusher" mean in his final notes? At the Santa Monica Pier, William Gladden watches the carousel, predatorily eyeing dark-haired girls who stray from their parents. When confronted by police, he remains unnervingly composed, immediately demanding a lawyer and challenging them legally. After release, Gladden transforms with dyed hair, whiskers, and glasses, hiding at the Bonsoir Motel, where he's apparently murdered someone. He keeps the air conditioner high with incense masking odors. His thoughts reveal his participation in an online network trafficking children's photographs, a digital underground connecting predators nationwide. Jack's investigation shifts when he learns Chicago detective John Brooks allegedly committed suicide after investigating a child murder, leaving only a cryptic Poe quote, "through the pale door." Brooks's colleague believed it was murder. Jack connects Sean's final note, "Rusher," to Poe's Roderick Usher, and finds "out of space, out of time" from Dreamland, convincing him these connections are significant. Examining Sean's car with Detective Wexler, they discover the heater was off, windows couldn't have fogged naturally, and the rear security lock disengaged, contrary to Sean's strict professional habits. This evidence finally convinces Wexler of Jack's murder theory. At the Law Enforcement Foundation in Washington, Jack secretly accesses files on 13 detective suicides, identifying four suspicious cases with suicide notes containing Poe quotes. The pattern emerges. A serial killer targets homicide detectives from high-profile cases, stages their deaths as suicides, and leaves Edgar Allan Poe quotes as his signature. The killer monitors detectives through media coverage and uses sophisticated techniques to disguise the murders. FBI agent Rachel Walling confronts Jack about accessing confidential files, but recognizes his research's value. The FBI commits resources to the POET investigation, with Jack negotiating observer status. The team identifies 6 dead detectives across 6 states, each killed with a headshot, no witnesses, and Poe quoting suicide notes. The victimology reveals the POET selects detectives who take the bait by leading media prominent cases. The team discovers the killer uses hypnosis combined with medications to control victims, explaining the lack of struggle and poetry. Tiny perforations in victims' palms and fingers confirm hypnotic trance testing. Jack and Rachel's developing romance adds complexity to the investigation, with Rachel revealing her police officer father's suicide as her career motivation. William Gladden becomes the prime suspect after they learn he was mentored by Detective Clifford Beltran, the first victim, through best pals years earlier. They theorize Gladden's murders are exorcisms of trauma from Beltran's abuse. When the FBI sets a trap at a camera store where Gladden ordered equipment, Jack defies orders to stay away. During their confrontation, Gladden confesses killing Jack's brother to save him from becoming like me. Before Jack can learn more, a tactical team intervenes and Jack fatally wounds Gladden. As Gladden dies, he experiences euphoria, recognizes Rachel, and questions Jack's age relative to his brother, a detail that proves significant. Despite Jack being celebrated for killing the POET, Gladden's final words trouble him. FBI agents discover PTL Network, a pedophile bulletin board where Gladden sold photos, finding disturbing writings with POE-related passwords. Jack investigates discrepancies in hotel records and call timings, uncovering a shocking truth. FBI agent Bob Backus Jr., son of a legendary supercop and head of the Suicide Project, is the real POET. When confronted, Backus admits identifying Beltran through Gladden's interview, then using Gladden as cover. Backus forces Jack to take painkillers and reveals he stole Beltran's online identity. When Jack asks about his brother Sean, Backus calls him his one failure. Using hypnotic suggestion, Backus immobilizes Jack, but Rachel arrives with her gun drawn. During the ensuing gunfight, Jack shoves his chair into Backus, exposing him to Rachel's shot. Backus falls through shattered glass into the darkness below. Jack discovers Backus survived his fall into a eucalyptus tree and escaped through storm drains. When authorities later find a decomposed body with Backus's ID and clothes, Jack believes it's staged. Investigation reveals only fragments about Backus, a perfectionist father, obsessive cleanliness, a broken engagement, and childhood punishment to being handcuffed to a shower for bedwetting. Jack remains in Los Angeles on extended leave, writing his book with his surgically repaired hand. He sold the story rights, placing most proceeds in trust for Riley's unborn baby, Sean's child. "Death is my beat," Jack reflects. What haunts him about Gladden and Backus isn't what was in their eyes, but what was missing, only darkness and empty despair. He thinks of Sean, wondering if his brother saw the same evil in his killer's eyes. Jack continues to mourn, watching and waiting, knowing that true darkness never dies. It only waits to emerge again.